This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing well? Good, good. Hey, we are jumping into a brand new series called Love Your Neighbor. Now, as you see that title, some of you out there are going to guess that this series is about neighbors. And I'm here to tell you you're right. Good job. Congratulations. This series is about neighbors. As a matter of fact, I have some neighborly music kicking us off this morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That was not, Charles didn't even know I was going to do that. He just, oh my goodness, I'm really excited this morning to kick off this series with you guys, talking about loving our neighbors. And you guessed it, it is about our neighbors. It's about more than just our neighbors, though. And so as I was preparing this morning's message to kick off the series, I could not help but think back to some of the neighbors that have become, like, notorious or famous throughout American television through the years. Obviously, kicking off with a guy that we just heard some theme music from, a guy named Mr. Rogers. You remember him? I remember growing up watching his show and loving it as a kid. And now it's kind of cool because as I have my own kids, there's this thing called Daniel Tiger that is like a continuation of everything that Mr. Rogers created back in the day. And so Mr. Rogers is probably the most famous neighbor I can think of when it comes to television. But I want to show you a few more this morning as well. This next one here is a guy famous from the show Seinfeld. Anybody familiar with Cosmo Kramer? Anybody remember this guy? Dude was just like kind of off his rocker, right? Next door neighbor to Jerry Seinfeld throughout that sitcom. And so brought a lot of laughs to that show and to America as Seinfeld was this huge number one show for many, many years. What about this guy right here? You remember this guy? Ah, does anybody remember who this was? Wilson, yeah, I heard it out there. This is a guy named Wilson from the show Home Improvement. Nothing quite like getting the best advice from a neighbor you ever could from a creepy guy who you can only see his eyes, right? Like, just kind of out there, but like a great neighbor from TV. What about this dude right here? Anybody remember this guy? Yeah, Steve Urkel. Like, he was, again, when we think of obnoxious neighbors, maybe this is near the top of the list. He always had that nasally voice, like, did I do that? Like, he said all those things, right? Steve Urkel. I'm going to give you one more this morning. This one, maybe a deep cut for some of you, but this is Frank and Marie Barone, who are from a show called Everybody Loves Raymond. Now, if you're not familiar with this, basically these two, they were the parents that lived across the street and always came in and just like barged the door down and caused problems in their son's family's household, right? This is the show that would have never existed if they just would have locked their door. Like, oh, seriously, the episodes wouldn't have happened if they just simply locked their doors. And so listen, maybe these characters, or at least some of these characters this morning, remind you of your own real life neighbors, the people who live right next to you. Or, I don't know, maybe they don't remind you of your real life neighbors. But transparently, I believe these neighbors are a good representation of what we sometimes feel about our neighbors or other people in general. And it's this, it's that they can get under our skin. It's that our neighbors or the people that we do life with sometimes can get under our skin. And so this morning, I want to start with the foundational piece of this whole series called Love Your Neighbors, which comes from the mouth of Jesus himself. And so I want to start right there. And so we're going to open up to the book of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 28 to 34. Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. But before we read that together, I just simply want to set the scene for you. And so Jesus is speaking to this group of people known as the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were essentially a Jewish sect of people. And at the time, they loved to debate with Jesus And so, setting up the scene for what we're about to read, the Sadducees are debating the topic of marriage at the resurrection with Jesus. Or essentially, they're talking about whether or not, like, people are married in the afterlife. People who are married on earth are married in the afterlife. And so, they're debating and specifically trying to argue Jesus with Jesus on this topic. And in the midst of that conversation, Scripture goes on to tell us this in Mark 12, 28 to 34. Scripture says this: one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them, the Sadducees, a good answer, this teacher of the law asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is most important?" "Well, the most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You were right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, that the man, the teacher, had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Okay, so right off the bat in this passage of Scripture, there's something that's absolutely worth answering, a question that's absolutely worth answering, and it's this: who are your neighbors? Or who are our neighbors? Who are they? If Jesus is making it clear that loving our neighbors is second only to loving God, then we've got to know who he's talking about when he says, love your neighbors. And so something worth noting from this passage is that the word neighbor in our text is translated from the original Greek word plesion, which literally means someone who is close by, but it figuratively means or can be in reference to anyone we encounter throughout our lives. So is Jesus talking about our literal neighbors, the people we live right next to, or is he talking about anyone and everyone? The answer to that question is yes, both and. He's talking about both groups of people. And then on top of that, the question of whether or not loving your neighbors and loving others is referring just to loving our fellow believers, or if it's referring to loving all people, believers or non-believers, the answer to that question, again, is also yes, both and. Check out what Jesus says in John 13, right before he's arrested and taken to trial. John 13, 33 through 34 says this: "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." This is Jesus speaking with his disciples. "You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And in this passage, Jesus, he's obviously, again, he's talking to his disciples. And so he's clearly telling his disciples, hey, like, love each other. In this group, you need to love each other. But we also have Jesus telling us to love our enemies in his Sermon on the Mount. Now that clearly goes beyond just loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, doesn't it? And so it's clear, church, it's clear that we are called to live with sacrificial love of Christ in our hearts toward all people. I want you to check this out. I want to hang on this passage in John just here for a minute, because here's the deal. Jesus uses strong language here. In particular, it's right here at the bottom. It says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." See, Jesus isn't just like suggesting that we love one another. He's not just saying, like, so as I have loved you, so you can maybe consider loving other people. No, Jesus says, you must love one another. It's not a suggestion from Jesus. It's a requirement. He's not, I mean, Jesus is essentially saying, hey, you should love and care for others to the same degree that you love and care for yourself. Like, think about it, like, We all can care and love for ourselves, right? Like, for some of us, that sometimes maybe comes a little too easily, right? Man, if we think about how we care when personal moments, when moments in life happen to us, and we care about it personally because it affects us, we are to love other people and care for other people on the same degree that we love and care for ourselves. There is no us over them when it comes to following Jesus, because that would be called pride. You see, Jesus is calling for humility or even hospitality. And so there's no denying that it's abundantly clear throughout Scripture that we're called to love our neighbors. It's plain as day to see. And yet it's not always plain as day to do. Can we bring my friends, our friends back up on screen here? I want to throw them back up on screen one more time. Because I believe this. I believe the hesitancy for some of us is that we too often view our neighbors like these people. And I know this is true because I've done the same in my own life. I can think back to when my wife and I were first married, and we lived in the I believe it's called the armpit of America, but it's known as Ohio. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, I know, right? And so I remember moving to Ohio right after I graduated college for my first job as a youth pastor. And as we're there and getting acclimated, I found out very quickly that I had some very interesting neighbors surrounding our house at the time. And one of them in particular always stood out to me. It was this guy across the street named Joe. And what you need to know about Joe, well, there's a couple things. One, he was kind of a louder guy. Like, he was the type of guy who'd be like yelling across the street, like to our house, like trying to get our attention and talk, like have like a full length conversation from across the street from his house. He also was like a people watcher. He was an older gentleman who was retired, and he had a church pew that sat in his garage, and he'd sit on his church pew in his garage and just watch people, like just watch as the neighborhood activities happen. And on top of that, for some reason, I don't know exactly why, but Joe, almost no matter what season it was, summer, winter, didn't matter, Joe almost never wore a shirt. And so he would just be out on his pew in his garage, shirtless, watching the neighborhood activities happen. And I'll never forget one day in one summer as we lived there, and Joe is our neighbor. I remember being in my living room and looking out our window across the street and seeing Joe sitting again at kind of like the precipice of his garage and his driveway. And at the time, he actually had a daughter who needed to drop her children off at his house for most of the day so that he could watch his own grandkids. And they were like, I mean, they were all over the board. There was like five or six of these kids, all the way from like age 12 all the way to an infant. And I remember looking out the window and seeing Joe sitting on his pew, and he had the stroller in front of him, and I could see his infant grandchild, little arms like coming up out of the stroller. He's kind of like playing, talking to his grandchild, and his driveway had a bit of a slant, like a downward like incline to it. And all of a sudden, I see the stroller start to move away from Joe. And I'm sitting at the window kind of nervous. It very slowly starts moving, and Joe is continuing to just sit there as if nothing is happening. And I see this stroller move more and more, closer and closer to the end of the driveway. It starts rolling all the way down the driveway. And Joe's not moving an inch. And so I'm rushing to the front door. I throw the door open, and as I'm about to run out the screen door, I notice that the stroller's about to hit the road where there are cars going by. And before I can sprint across the road, I see the stroller jolt to a stop. And I look up at Joe at the top of his driveway, and he has something in his hand. And he starts reeling the stroller back in as he had a rope attached to this stroller. And I sat there stunned as I realized that my neighbor Joe was sending the stroller and his grandchild down the driveway towards the end of the driveway for a bit of fun for his infant grandchild. And then he'd reel them back in and send them again. Now, I was too young at the time to realize, like, I should have called CPS in that moment. But I thought, what in the world? I have the weirdest neighbors. I'll never forget another time we had friends down from Michigan who were visiting for a weekend. We're all sitting in the living room talking, and my buddy Leon looks out the window and he goes, "Hey, is it normal for children to be running on the roof across the street?" And I looked over, and sure enough, these grandchildren are playing tag on top of their house. It blew me away. I had a conversation with Joe about it. He said, "Ah, put the ladder up and let them get up there, like blow a little steam off." I'm like, this is crazy. This is nuts. Honestly, I'll be really transparent and honest here. I did not get my neighbor Joe. I didn't get him. Like, he just it didn't make sense to me. Like, to quote Michael Scott from the show The Office, I didn't get why he was the way he was. I didn't get why he parented his grandkids the way he did. At one point, these grandkids actually stayed and lived with him and his wife. And so I got to watch more parenting faux pas happen. It really taught me a lot about parenting. I didn't get why he parented his grandkids the way he did. I didn't get a lot of things about Joe. I didn't get why he parked his car in front of my house on my side of the street instead of on his side of the street in front of his house. I didn't get lots of things. I didn't get so many things about Joe. As a matter of fact, I didn't get him to such a high degree that I would say I straight up didn't agree with the things he did or the way he did them. But here's what's countercultural about what Jesus is saying to the teacher of the law in Mark 12, and what I believe he's saying to us through Scripture. Jesus simply says, love your neighbors. Love your neighbors. Not that loving them means getting them. Not that loving them means agreeing with them. Not that loving them means enabling them. But love them. Trust me, I don't agree with everything my kids do, but I still love them. A few weeks ago, my son Abram shoved a piece of apple so far up his nose that it sat in his sinus cavity. I can tell you right now, I'll be honest, I did not agree with that decision. But I somehow still loved him through it. Story for another day. But a lot of you can relate to that feeling. Jesus is calling us to figure out how to love our neighbors. Jesus is calling us to figure that out with our neighbors as well, as we would with our own kids even. I didn't get my neighbor Joe, but I made a point to still have a relationship with him and even talk about Jesus with that guy. We're called to love our neighbors, not to live in hatred against them, not to constantly avoid them, not to speak poorly about them to other neighbors, but to love them, meaning to represent Jesus in how we interact with others. That those people, that they would feel the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that's in us. Some of us are great at avoiding our neighbors or just other people in general. And I get it. I remember when I was younger and like a Jehovah's Witness would like come to the front door. I remember literally hiding underneath the window, like hoping that they didn't see me, right? Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've done that as a kid, or maybe you've done that as an adult. I don't know. But what if instead of hiding or blending in, we stepped out into our communities and embraced the interactions with other people? We embrace the interactions And through our love and care and conversations, we continue to point people toward Jesus with kindness and compassion, even the people we really, truly don't get. I just recently saw a news story. It's from a few years ago, but I couldn't help but show it this morning to you guys because I felt like it so fit this conversation. I just thought it was so interesting and fascinating. Simple, but interesting and fascinating. So I'd love to watch this together with you guys this morning. Let's check this out. Man, what if instead of pushing our neighbors away, we actually pulled them closer? Like my neighbor Joe. What if we actually pulled them closer through our interactions? What if instead of letting them go beyond our reach, we actually drew them closer and through that they experienced Jesus? See, Jesus did that time and time again with other people. He did that time and time again with people that others would want just as far away from them as possible. Jesus drew those people in. Make you think of the woman at the well, caught in adultery. People are ready to kill her. What does Jesus do? Jesus draws her in closer. Think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector that nobody liked, that nobody wanted near them, that nobody wanted to interact with. What did Jesus do? Jesus draws him in closer. As a matter of fact, he even goes and eats a meal with him at his house. You think of the lepers who were outcasts in their communities, pushed out to the outer limits of their communities to just be as far away from people because people didn't want to be even remotely close to them. And what did Jesus do? Jesus reaches and pulls them in and draws them closer. Hear me out. This isn't a call for us to draw unsafe people closer into our lives. God has revealed to some of you that there are certain people in your life that aren't safe to be pulled closer. That's a reality. I get that. But this, what Scripture's talking about, isn't that. What this is exactly what Jesus says. It's love God and love others. And as an extension of that, it's this. If you love God, then you'll love others. And watch this. When we fully grasp that concept, look what happens. What did Jesus say to the teacher in our original passage in Mark 12 when that teacher fully understood that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength and to love ourselves as our neighbors? Jesus said this, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The more we love God with all of our being and by extension pour that love out onto other people as well, the closer we are to the kingdom of God. Jesus spells it out. Now we could go in all sorts of crazy different directions in how we can love our neighbors, but I'd rather start with just one simple principle this morning. You see, one of my favorite quotes throughout my life in ministry comes from an author named John Maxwell. And I'll never forget this quote. It's just always stuck with me. He said this. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I've experienced that in my own life as a pastor stepping in alongside people who are enduring difficult moments. I've experienced that they won't necessarily remember the words we say, but they'll remember that we were there. You see, the ministry of presence is monumental. The ministry of presence is huge. When we show up, we show people we care. And that's my encouragement this morning, church. It's that in the midst of Jesus calling us to love our neighbors as ourselves, we would show up in their lives in ways that continue to point them, to point our neighbors and all people toward Jesus. Whether it's showing up in good times in their lives or showing up in rough times in their lives, I believe that showing up and being present is integral to loving people. We often convince ourselves that we're too busy for that type of interaction, or we're too busy for those types of relationships. And yet again, Jesus doesn't suggest it. He requires it of us. And so have you made it a priority in your own relationship with Jesus? Have you made this a priority in your own relationship with Jesus and how that filters into every other aspect of your life? Is it a priority? You want to know one of the ways that I believe we love our neighbors here at Bridgeway? We celebrate their victories with them. We celebrate their victories with them. And so in a few weeks, we actually get to celebrate people's victories in one of the coolest ways, because we've got our baptism and anniversary service coming up on September 7th. And I believe this. This is an amazing way, church, for us to show up and show that we care about our neighbors. Man, we get to celebrate with them because we have people who have experienced life change through Jesus, who are making the public declaration that they're going to follow Jesus with everything they've got, and they're willing to go into the river for it for baptism. And we as a church, if that's not you that's getting baptized, you as the church have an opportunity to step in and love our neighbors in this way and showing them that we're present and that we care and that we support and celebrate with them. Man, that's huge. We get to witness how Jesus has changed their lives for the better and then show our celebration and support through presence. Man, I don't know why we wouldn't show up for that. And on the flip side, maybe you've been considering baptism, but you've been hesitant. And you're sitting here today thinking to yourselves, okay, they brought this up during the announcements. Now they're bringing it up again during the message. It feels like maybe they're talking directly to me. Honestly, I can say this. We don't know everybody who's at those crossroads. So honestly, we're not, but maybe God is speaking directly to you. Maybe your time is now. Please don't, I encourage you, don't let this moment slip by. Don't let this chance, this opportunity to slip by. Come chat with us about it if you've got questions about baptism. Or if you're sitting there this morning and you've been kind of considering it and you're thinking now, you know what, I'm going to answer the call. It's really simple and easy. All you got to do is sign up. Jump online. I don't even care if you pull your phone out now in the middle of this message and jump online and sign up for baptism and let us know that you're going to be a part of it. It's super easy. And then all you got to do is wait to hear from us on the next steps and we make it happen. But here's what I want to leave you with this morning, church. Yes, Jesus is referring to all people when he tells us to love our neighbors. All people from all walks of life. People we get and people we don't get. But what if we literally did start with our actual neighbors, the people we live right next to, the people right smack dab in the middle of our communities, in our neighborhoods? These are our closest communities, aren't they? Imagine what it could look like if we loved our literal neighbors as Jesus calls us to love people. What if we pulled in the people that live right around us? What if we continued to like stretch ourselves a little bit and pull those people in closer? What could that look like? I got a couple of ideas here for you this morning. I'm not telling anybody that they've got to do any of these things. I'm just throwing out the ideas that I was spitballing as I was getting ready for this message. Do you all remember things called block parties? Do you remember block parties? These were events where they, like, neighborhoods would throw on their block and invite all the neighbors from their streets and on that block or whatever to come in and just like have a good time together, whether it was food, friends, family, music, just opportunities to like get together as a street, as a neighborhood, and have throw a little party together and celebrate together. Maybe, I don't know, maybe for you, like doing something like that, it looks like throwing a block party in your neighborhood like this right here. Or maybe it looks a little bit different. Maybe it looks a little differently than this picture even. Maybe for you, it looks like putting a small bonfire pit in your driveway every Thursday night. And every Thursday night, you make it known to your neighbors that you've got s'mores, hot dogs, and hot chocolate, and they can come over with lawn chairs and sit around the fire and just enjoy each other's company. I don't know, maybe you turn somebody's yard in your neighborhood into like a home theater where you're projecting a movie up onto like the side of somebody's house and you invite the neighbors over for like a family movie night with popcorn and just fun. I don't know, maybe you decide to clean up a local park together as a neighborhood or build a community garden together as a neighborhood where people can get produce from. I don't know, you can tell I'm spitballing, right? I think the possibilities are endless. I truly do. And what if we pulled in the people that we live right next to first? Well, how could that change our neighborhoods? How could that change our communities? Imagine if every single one of us left from this place and made it a mission to pull in our neighbors. Imagine if we all set out to love our neighbors this way, and through the relationships and through the conversations, we continue to put Jesus in the center of our communities. Imagine the impact it could have on our communities for the glory of God. Man, it'd be crazy cool to see what God could do through that. As a church, I just want to simply leave you with that this morning. That as we continue through this series, all about loving our neighbors, maybe we start simple. And maybe we lean in. And maybe we go, God, maybe we invite God into the conversation and go, God, how are you calling me to love my neighbor well? God, how are you calling me to love you well? Because I believe that loving our neighbors and loving people well is a part of loving God well. Church, let me pray for us, and we'll continue to worship together this morning. Father God, I'm so blessed by the fact, God, that you put people around me in my life that you call me to be in relationship with. God, the people that I get and the people that I don't get. My prayer this morning, God, is that we as a church could recognize every single day as an opportunity to pull people in, to pull our neighbors in, to pull our coworkers in, to pull our estranged family in, to pull in our kids, whatever that looks like, God, to pull people in and be in relationship with them in a way that just continues to point them toward you. God, would you be in our hearts? Would you be in our minds this week as we look at what it looks like to love our neighbors well? God, would you help us? Would you convict us to not live as hermits? God, to not live just secretly in our own homes all the time, just ostracizing ourselves from the community around us. But God, would you compel us to step into our communities and love our neighbors well as you call us to love you well? Jesus, you said, love God and love others. No other commandments are greater than these. And so, God, would we walk from this place with that commandment upon our hearts, written upon our hearts, so that we're changed by it. And God, through that, we change our neighborhoods. God, I'm grateful for who you are through that you would love us so much, that you would love all people so much, that you say, not a single person doesn't matter. That you were willing to leave the 99 to chase down the one. God, I pray that we feel that exact mission upon our hearts this morning. And that, God, we would walk from this place changed and ready to change our communities because of it. God, thank you for calling us to this. God, I pray we don't ignore it, but we step into it. And through that, God, we'll worship and praise you with our lives. So, God, right now, we worship and praise you with our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.